Blog Talk Radio.
Brought me to, hallelujah, such a freedom I have found in you. Thanking God this morning for each and every one of you. Thank you for moving forward in the word of God with me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm all filled up, y'all. You know, we have to get our own feeling so we can feel someone else. Hallelujah. I thank God for Morning Glory Nation. If you are on Facebook, send a request and join the nation. Hallelujah. Join us as we also move in the word of God. Thank you, Pastor Wilson, this morning for a great word from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and up. And I love the word for today for me was, what's in it for me. And I just got to say, I love you, Lord, and I love the sacrifice of my time for you. So let's get ready to get into our word this morning. Our title word is going to be coming out of Psalm chapter 42, the 42nd Psalm, verses 1 through 5. And I just love this word, and it's my soul thirst for the living God. My soul thirst for the living God. I love God, and I know that he loves me. Hallelujah. Is your soul thirsty this morning? Is your soul thirsty this morning? Is your soul thirsty this morning? If it is, come on over here and join us in moving forward, because my soul is for the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. So tell a friend, if you call a friend and say, is your soul thirsty this morning? And if they say yes, tell them to call 213-943-3597. Woo, hallelujah. You know, hey, that's it. Is your soul thirsty this morning? Call 213-943-3737 to get a drink of water. Whew. Not only to get a drink, but to get a drink of living water. Hallelujah, which is Jesus. Praise God this morning with y'all. I am just filled up. I'm filled up. And y'all like, that lady needs to just go and get in the word. So I am going to get in the word as we pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made. Lord God, we are rejoicing and glad in it. Father, we are asking that you increase as we decrease. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word asking you, Father God, increase as I decrease. Lord God, let it come to life with you. Lord God, I ask you to take control as I listen with my heart, that I hear your voice and harden all hearts today, Lord God, that this word will permeate every fiber of the being. In Jesus' name, I pray, lifting up, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you hallelujah praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Woo! And I just ask again, is your soul thirsty this morning? If so, call 213-943-3597 to get a drink of living water. Hallelujah. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. God is so good. He is so good. And I'm ready to get something to drink this morning. And we're going to start a little different today. We are going to go back to our Joshua word today, but we're going to start in our title word this morning, which is the 42nd Psalm, and we're in verses 1 through 5. And it says this, to the chief musician and contemplation, a contemplation of the sons of glory. And it says this, as the deer pants for the water. Look. And I believe in King James says, as the deer pants by the water. And in NIV, let me say NIV real quick here. That's why you have to have more than one Bible. 42nd Psalm. NIV says, as the deer pants for streams of water. And let me see what the Amplified says. And Amplified, it says, thirsting for God in trouble and exile. That's the title. It's book two of Exodus. I mean, book two of the Psalms. And it says, because, you know, Psalms is divided up. And it says to the chief musician again, longingly for the water brook. I love that, longingly for the water brook. And so our NIT, our New King James says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And that's the title for today. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Whew. Been there, done that, so needed God, thirsting for God, because I was broken, a broken mess, and quiet as it kept those days, I feel broken, even now, but God will put you back together when you spend time with him. The enemy will throw you down that humpy dumpy wall. But understand, the king's soldiers and the king's men may not be able to put you together again, but God can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can put your broken self back together. As the deer pants for the water brook, looking for living water today in the word of God. If you're looking for living water today, God has you covered. We are so blessed to be children of God and to have Jesus Christ as our living water. As your soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when shall come and appear before me? When shall we come and appear before God? Understand, there are some that are grieving today. Being in the grieving market, point in my life, I lost my husband. 6 months later, I lost my mother-in-law. 6 months later, I lost what my mother-in-law's cousin, who was like her brother, who was like an uncle to my children, to my husband. Was the godfather to my niece. 6 months, 1 year, three people in my family that I love dearly, gone. I understand brokenness. In the last year, Power 3 lost my father-in-law, lost two of friends, older gentlemen that I just thought the world of. They were mentors. They were great men of God. And I'm grateful that they were in my life. One was, I think, 189, 191. My father-in-law was 96. All these three men poured into my life with knowledge and understanding of God. Less than 2 weeks of each other. My father-in-law and one of my friends died within 2 days of each other. And the other one died a week and a half later. It was hard. One died holding my hand as I prayed over him and sang for him. But I know that all three are in the presence of God because they were thirsting for God. They were tired of being sick, tired of not knowing what was wrong with them. We've got to thirst for God. If you're thirsty this morning, I know a man, and his name is Jesus. Proverbs 13:17-18. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. You've got to be willing to accept criticism. God knows. I don't know too many perfect people. I'm not one of them. I messed up, but I'm thankful that I have a father that helps me clean up. Come on now. We all fall short, but God. Say it with me, but God. We are blessed beyond measure. Because God loves us more than we love ourselves. Are you thirsty today? Are you seeking living water today? Call a friend. If you know a friend and needs a drink, tell them to call 213-943-3597 to get a word from the Lord. We are here every day. Sunday through Friday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, with a word from God. It's called the Bible. And what we do on this show is we read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in one, started January 1st, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. And we will end, God willing, December 31st in Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, with amen. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. Our word is coming in the Old Testament from Joshua chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 24. And our New Testament word is coming out of Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. And in Joshua chapter 3, the word of God says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set up from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you, it, you and it. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and the cross over before the people. I didn't catch that before. Let me go back to this. I had never caught this word, and cross over before the people. Because we understand that they had to take the Ark and they had to cross over the Jordan. You know, I think somewhere I read it, they went over the Jordan. But that word cross at this time has a meaning. Jesus crossed. He went to the cross for us. And he crossed over from life to death and back to life for us. He had to cross over into death for us. He had to take our sinful self to the grave and bury our sins and live again so that we may have opportunity for eternal life. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty this morning? Hallelujah. Are you thirsty this morning? We are not going to let distractions get us off track. Hallelujah. Are you thirsty this morning? And the word of God one more time. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. They had an assignment. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, and that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Havites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take for yourself 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zerah. So the waters that ran down from the Sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and was cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on what? Dry land, on dry ground, in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. Can I say it again? On dry ground, until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. God opened the Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground. God opened the Jordan River, and they walked through on dry ground. Come on now. God can dry it up and help you to walk through the rain and the storm. God will give you beauty for ashes. We are blessed beyond measure. Thank you, God. Chapter 4 of Joshua. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in a lodging place where you lodge, where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, say, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded. Joshua and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over on before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000 prepared for war, crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel, cross over this Jordan on dry land. But the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as my Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Are you thirsty this morning? Hallelujah. This word is good, and it is quenching today. And our life lessons for this morning, and when we talk life lessons, life questions, life examples, they are coming from Dr. Charles Stanley, because this is a daily devotional Bible. And so he gives us devotion. He gives us understanding of scripture and word. So thanking Dr. Stanley and In Touch Ministries for this awesome Bible. And again, I have to give this disclaimer. I am not being paid to advertise for In Touch Ministries, but it is a great ministry to support. And I say this Bible should be in every Christian's Bible arsenal. You got to have more than one Bible. I know many people that got that King James that they have been carrying for the last 50 years and will not look at anything but King James. But you need to get a study Bible. You need to get a Bible that you can go in and look at and study from. And you need different kinds. I have a rainbow NIV that talks about what each color means. One color means discipleship. Another color means outreach. Another color means God. Another color means salvation. Another color means love. Another color commandments. Another color family. Another color faith. Another color prophecy. Another color evil. Another color is sin. And the final color is history. And every page has a rainbow-shaped color giving you what this means. So if you go to Psalm 42, when we talk about thirsty, it's discipleship. And when we go to verses 3 through 5, or 3 through 4, we're talking love. And then when we get back down to verse number 5, we're talking outreach and faith. So everyone, discipleship and love. So when we go to Psalm 42, the 42nd Psalm, verses 1 through 5, we're talking discipleship, we're talking love, and we're talking faith. Rainbow Bible. It gives you understanding that we all need. You know, you should have in your arsenal different types of Bible. You need to have a concordance. You need to have everything you need to go in and study. You know, I have another Bible that's a chronological Bible, that everything is in chronological order. So it's a little harder to read because it's not what we are standardly looking at, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, and everything is in a certain order. You may have Nehemiah and Ezra, and you may have Micah, all in the same area. And why? Because they all were at the same time trying to rebuild Jerusalem, and each having an assignment. You may have Jeremiah and other prophets at the same time, Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah. You may have so many different things going on because chronologically they were going on at the same time. So our Bible is not necessarily in proper order after you get past probably Joshua and the judges and the kings. Then it kind of goes all over the place. And even the kings you may have in different places because they talk about different kings chronologically. So get different Bibles. Get study Bibles. You know, get as past a few, I would say, get your Bible. You know, you can go online and look up anything, everything. YouTube has a Bible study for everything. If you need a Bible study on Joshua chapter 3, believe me, it's on YouTube somewhere. If you need chapter, the 42nd Psalm, believe me, it's out there on YouTube somewhere. So there is always Bible study going on. All you have to do is look for it. It's on social media. It's on this Blog Talk radio station. It's everywhere. You need it. But you got to thirst for it. You got to want that living water that can only come from Jesus Christ, from salvation, and from the Word of God. Thank you, Father. And a life lesson from this word this morning. In Joshua 3 and 4, do not come near it that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Since the Israelites had never traveled this path before, they wisely chose to follow the lead of God. In this case, by trailing the Ark of the Covenant, God leads, we are to follow. Hallelujah. God leads, and we are to follow. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 8, and this is a life principle. And it says, God does not require us to understand his will, just obey it, even if it seems unreasonable. Understand that. God just wants us to be obedient. I'm going to tell you, I can be hard-headed, have been hard-headed, have got the hard-head T-shirt from childhood to adulthood. I tell you, not perfect, but I love the Lord. But I tell you this, we got to learn to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All you got to do is ask King Saul, who lost his kingship because of being a disobedient king, and thinking he could do a sacrifice to the Lord when he was told by Samuel to wait. Come on now. When the prophet said wait, you got to wait. And in Joshua 3 and 8 says, do you often find yourself wondering why God doesn't answer your prayer, or why, despite all your best efforts, the circumstances of your life still don't work out? The answer to lie in your level of obedience to God. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and are still experiencing great spiritual frustration, there may be an area of disobedience in your life that you have not dealt with. Perhaps God has asked something of you, and in response, you have either ignored his words or done only part of what he asked. True obedience to God means doing what God says. When he says it, how he says it should be done, as long as he says to do it, regardless of whether you understand the reasons for it, until what he says is accomplished. Whew. All I can think of is when we talk about parents, is what your mama says. Well, why I got to do that? Because I see it so. Y'all know, we all of us moms know we didn't have that because I see it so moment. And God is our Father, and he has said, I need you too. And you like, your Lord, because I see it so. We got to understand that what God says to do, we got to do. Why? Because he said so. Hallelujah. You got to obey your Father. And then it goes on to tell us, before you try to make a list of everything God has ever asked you to do or not do, consider this. Is there one particular area of your life in which you struggle to obey God's word? As you read the scriptures, does he continually bring a specific sin to your attention? When you go to him in prayer, does the same issue surface repeatedly? If the Lord is bringing something to your mind right now, consider this. It could be that you have been living in the same uncomfortable situation for years because at some point you chose to do things your way instead of God's way. Oh, hallelujah. The shoe is fitting real tight. Understanding this key distinction between your way and God's way can make a tremendous difference in your life. You may place obedience at the top of your priority list, but to do so, I think you need to see why obedience plays such an important role in your relationship with God. And there may be no better biblical example to illustrate the point than Noah, a man who obeyed God even when what God asked him to do didn't seem to make much sense. God called this man to do something extraordinary, something that seemed both impossible and illogical. And Noah complied without asking questions. And we know if you go to Genesis chapter 6 and 9, you will see the story of Noah. Noah obeyed God despite what other people thought of him. When he chose the path of obedience, we also must be prepared for the negative responses we will undoubtedly receive. Understand, when you choose to do whatever it is God calls you to do, folks don't look at you funny. When I accepted my call to ministry, I got some looks. I got some serious looks. I got some folks like, oh, why verse? Too holy. Nope. She's married to Jesus. Not that one. She's a good girl. You know, you go back to that. She's a good girl. I was a good girl in high school, and I'm a good girl now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to understand that when folks want to call you, didn't choose, wear your crown. Wear your good shoes. And don't worry about what people say or what people think about you. If one's supposed to say, well, you know, they being used, girl. They being used at that church. You know, all they do is, mm-hmm, you know they want, mm-hmm, you know they, you know, all that mm-hmm stuff. But you know what you do, what God calls you to do. Search after the Lord today. And it goes on to tell us, well, it always be popular to obey God. No. Will people criticize you? Probably. Will they think you do some ridiculous things? No doubt. Will they laugh at you? Yes. But think about this. Noah chose to walk with God in the midst of a corrupt society. In fact, it has grown so wicked that God determined to destroy every living human being on the face of this earth, with the exception of one family, Noah. We can only imagine what those evil people must have said to Noah as they watched him day after day. But soon after the raindrops started falling, all the mockery dried up. We can deduce an important key to obedience from the life of Noah. When God tells us to do something, we must not focus on the things or the person who tried to distract us from doing it. We all know there's a distraction devil. If Noah had begun to listen to his critics, he would not have built the ark, and he would have been swept away with everyone else. Instead, he chose to obey God regardless of any misgivings he might have had. The Holy Spirit enables us to obey every one of God's commandments. If this were not possible, God would not be a just God. Therefore, whatever he requires of us, whether it be painful or joyful, profitable or costly, reasonable or peculiar, our Heavenly Father will help us to obey him. Obedience must be a priority in every believer's life. It is the only way you will ever become the person God wants you to be. Only way you will ever achieve that thing in life that he has so wonderfully prepared for you. The Holy Spirit enables you to walk obediently before God in his strength and his power. My prayer for you, my petition to God on your behalf, is that you will choose to obey him, even if you don't understand why. He asks you to do something. That way you can become the person he wants you to be. Do the work he desires of you, bear the fruit he enables you to bear, and receive the blessings he has prepared for you. And I just read that, and that word for this morning just hit. What's in it for me? Oh, that was a word for my morning glory show this morning. And it is only a relationship with God. Serving God requires sacrifice, and that is what is our word even today. As we thirst for more of God, we thirst for that living God. We thirst for the living water that can only come from God. And life lessons in Joshua 3:10, know that the living God is among you and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites. When the living God is among us, no problem is insurmountable. The awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work. Joshua 4:7, these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. For years after Israel had defeated Jericho, the people could look at the stones taken from the Jordan dry river bank and remember God's work on their behalf. What memorial stones remind you of God's work in your own life? Hallelujah. Something to think about. In Joshua 4:24, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. What happens to God's people has ramifications far beyond their own lives. The Lord wants the whole world to know him, and he advertises his activity through us. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Send me a word if you would like to please get your Bible. It's coming from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead. And we all know that Herod had John beheaded because his ratchet sister-in-law, divine, adulterous, quote-unquote, wife, and her hot mama daughter, and I'm going to call it the two ratchet women in his life, set him up to cut off the head of John the Baptist. And so now he's getting scared. And it says, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John, I have beheaded. But who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethesda. But when the multitude knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. Said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. But there were about 5,000 men. Understanding 5,000 men, which meant that it was not including women and children. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Whew. Cannot do. They can do all things but fail. And I love this word. I didn't get to that Old Testament from our Proverbs life lesson, but the life lesson is this. In Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Again, as I spoke earlier, we got to be able to take constructive criticism. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. We all need correction at many points along life's journey, but not all of us graciously and willingly accept the correction we need. We need correction to keep us off the wrong path that is to the wrong direction. Where is your attitude taking you today? Is your attitude taking you up, or is your attitude taking you down? We got to understand. We got to be able to receive correction. You know, if you're not doing right, you got to ask God, what should I do? And he will correct your path. But the word of God tells us, as we all know that proverb was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And he may direct your path to some constructive criticism. Take it and move with it and do what you need to do for the Lord. Are you thirsty today? I know I am. I'm thirsty for the word. And I'm, as they say, my throat is dry. Come on, Jesus. Luke 9:13, give them something to eat. Remember when Jesus did his first miracle and turned the water to wine, his mama just looked at him and said, and he looked at the servant and said, do what he tell you to do. Do what he says, I believe it's the word is. Do what he says. She didn't have any doubt that her son could handle the business. And he did. The best wine he made was just a finger. Come on now. Bring that water. It's wine. Jesus did not play. And as our word says, give them something to eat. The Lord will never command us to do something without also providing whatever we need to obey his command. In this case, his command seemed impossible, but he provided what he told them to give. Can the church say amen this morning? God is good, and that is our word for today. I thank you all for listening in. And as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn's gift this morning. And the word from the gift today is this. Right on point. Every day she sends right on point. And I just can't help but say thank you, Lord, for our wonderful sister in Christ. And the word for this morning is this. Good morning. You have to trust that what God is ahead of you is so much greater than anything behind you. Have a thankful Thursday. Right on point. They had to go forth. They had to go across the Jordan. They was probably looking at all that water, dishing to and fro, and wondering how we going to get across that. But God can do all things but fail. And our new addition to moving forward is a 365 days of prayer for life. And this is our prayer and something to think about for today. And it is just renew my mind. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Ephesians 3:2. Spirit of God, and this is our prayer. Spirit of God, I long for your river of life to rush through me. I am open to you. Come fill me with your love and that washes away every fear and clears out every dark part. Renew my mind today with your peace that clears the clutter of jumbled thoughts. You are the one I long for. I know that when you speak, you bring life. Where there have been thoughts of despair and hopelessness, replace them with hope that comes from you and the light you bring. My hand is up because that's, oh, thank you, Jesus. I wait on you now, God. I will not rush on with my day until you meet with me here in this present moment. Renew my attitude so instead of dread, I will be filled with peace to face any situation. I cannot do this on my own, Lord. Do the work that only you can do. You are more than welcome to shift everything that stands against you and your kingdom within me. Here I am. Have your way. Oh, hallelujah. We got to ask God to reconstruct us today. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Do you need that living water that can only come from God? Are you panting by the brook today? Are you needing a drink today? God's word is the drink that you need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this rich word this morning. Thank you for that big old cup of coffee. Thank you for that juice. Hallelujah. Thank you for the living water that you have given us this morning. Father God in heaven, we thank you. And a word for all of us, attitudes reflect the character of God. Are you reflecting the character of God today? Are you taking him with you wherever you go today? Are you thirsty for him today? I thank you all again for listening in. And as we go through getting ready to wrap it up this morning, I pray over you and yours. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours to have a blessed and glorious day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord God, for this mighty word. Thank you for your presence today. Please watch over those listening live and listening later. Bring them all safely to their destination, Lord God. Home and abroad, I ask your prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all for listening in. It is a wrap because I got to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed and have a wonderful and great day. And remember, if you're thirsty, I know a man who can give you all the water you need. And it's water that will last you for life. And his name is Jesus. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Get to that.